Good evening, class. Glad you can be here with me. I'm excited about the class today. Very excited. I've been excited about the last few classes that we've had. We have actually, after this class, we'll have two more classes left. So to my graduating class, to the graduating class, congratulations. You've worked hard the past 2 years, and I'm glad you've arrived to this point. To first-year students, we got another year to go. Congratulations on making through the first year. My first-year students, we didn't get a chance to finish the lines of honorable men. So what we're going to do is, when we return next year, around our second year, we actually will have two books that we'll be working with. We'll be working with Spirit Life Training. We'll finish the lines of honorable men, and then we'll jump into Spirit Life Training. The second-year students, we pretty much got through Spirit Life Training, and then we had to make some adjustments in our teaching and in our syllabus so that we can get out the necessary impartation of information that we need to get out. So I've been excited. God is doing some great and wonderful things. God is allowing the apostolic to take hold, to take root in our lives. We see this disruption in our system. Anytime disruption happens, matter of fact, Matthew's, it talks about disruption. And right, Luke 21, it talks about, if you read the chapter, it talks, Jesus began to talk about these disruptions. And then in the 19th verse, which is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, in your patience, possess your soul. And so there's no reason to be in fear. It's a reason to be excited. God is doing some wonderful things. And this is why I've been focusing the last few weeks of our class on focusing on things that we must do as ministers to prepare ourselves for what God is doing in the present and is going to continue to do in the future. Once again, I know I'm repeating myself. I'm doing it on purpose because we're in such a major paradigm shift in the world system that we won't be able to use our old religious thought processes to be effective in what God is doing today and tomorrow. You know, this is not the last, I keep repeating, this is not the last pandemic. This was a test for us as Christians to see where we are in three specific areas. Number one, where are we in our relationship with the Father? How clear can we hear his voice? How clear can we recognize when he is moving? Number two, where are you in your health? Where are you in your health? All of us need to make adjustments in that area. What do you need to change? What do you need to stop eating? What do you need to start eating? So that you can build your God-ordained and God-given immune system. This is important for preachers. As preachers, it's important for us to understand this so that we can convey these messages, convey this behavior, convey this attitude to the people that we lead. And number three, where are you financially? Where are you financially? So where are we with our relationship with the Father? Where are we in our health walk? And where are we in our wealth walk? So that's why I'm excited about these classes. I'm excited about what God is showing us. This is why I'm stressing to you the importance of getting the book, The Four Laws of Financial Prosperity, so that you can get those four principles: targeting, tracking, trimming, and training. Targeting, tracking, trimming, and training. Now, I won't have time to delve into the actual mechanics of it. You can read and begin to apply it for yourself. Matter of fact, we coming up today is the day I'm recording this is March 26th. And so we're getting ready to come up on a beginning of a new month, April. If you have not started tracking, simply writing down every time you spend money, whether it's directly out of your checking account, from your debit card, in cash, even on your credit cards, if you need to track those things for at least 30 days, that way you'll know where your money is going. You can't, you cannot manage it if you cannot track it. All right, so that's the importance. There are some things mentally that you're going to have to do in order to shift to God's kingdom of finances. Now, some of the things I'm going to repeat, but I'm getting, once again, those that took the class Spirit Life Training will understand what I'm doing. I'm trying to create an environment, because from your environment comes your what? Your thoughts. Your thoughts do what? Produce your feelings. Your feelings causes you to act, and your actions bring results. So by me repeating and by me hitting this subject from different angles, what we're doing is creating an environment. Now, I'm only jump-starting your environment. You are responsible for your environment, what you're listening to, what you're hearing, because what you hear, what you listen to is what you're going to believe. What you believe, believing is part of your feelings. What you believe, what you're convinced of, is how you're going to act. And whatever actions you have, you're going to have certain results or definite results. So there's some things, some environment, things in our environment that we have to eradicate when it comes to eating and when it comes to wealth and when it comes to dealing with our relationship with God. Things that we, some old religious thought processes that we've had, processes that we had, we have to get rid of, you know. So in understanding these things that I'm talking to you about are to help you create, point you in the right direction to begin to create your environment that you can have the proper thoughts, that you can create or produce the proper feelings, so you have the proper actions and get the proper results. Once again, I repeat myself, but one of the first things you must do is stop letting the world system define wealth for you. What is wealth? What is prosperity? Stop letting the world system define that for you. Turn me to 1 Timothy 6 and 10. See, the system wants to control you. That's the whole thing about Satan. Jesus said, I've come in John 10, 10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The system, the God of this world, who's created this world system, the system of eating, the system of wealth, even trying to get you not to spend time with God, all that's created by the enemy. And his main purpose for doing that is to keep control of you. So watch this in 1 Timothy 6 and 10. This is very familiar scripture, but it is often misquoted. And because it's often misquoted, it's often misunderstood. Now, what we must understand, that Timothy was writing this to Christians, right? So when we get to that 10th verse, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith, or erred from the assignment, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you can see that Satan's objective is to get us to go after money, to get us to go after it, to get us to pursue it. And when we pursue money, when we go after it, we sometimes come to a crossroads where we have to make a decision if we're going to obey God or obey the process to pursue this money. And so God made it very simple for us. Very simple for us. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his right ways of doing things. And all these things will be added to you. So now watch how Satan uses the system to try to get us to operate in 1 Timothy 6 and 10 and not Matthew 6:33. When we let the world system define for us what is prosperity, what is wealth, what material things we need to have, what assets they call we need to have, what what size house we need to have, what type of bank account we need to have, what size house we need to have. When we let the world system drilling us through commercials, through competition, through ego, through whatever else may come up with to tell us what we need to have to appear wealthy, to appear to be in prosperity, then it causes us to go after money. So the very first thing you have to do is begin, is to stop letting the world system define for you what is prosperity, what is wealth. And you have to allow God to define it for you. Now, this is key. This is key. One of the reasons why I like the book, The Four Laws of Financial Prosperity, so much for getting you organized in your finances, is because it empowers you. Each one of us have different likes, dislikes, different things that we value. That's the key word, different things that we value. And so when we have different things that we value, there's no cookie cutter situation for everybody just to follow a budget. That's why you have to. That's why I stress the importance of tracking so that you can trim. Track so that you can trim. Once you track, then you'll know where you have bad money habits or what you don't value as much. Why am I spending money on this and I don't value it as much? Why am I doing this? You can't question yourself if you don't realize or be conscious that you're doing it. So the world system is always trying to define for us what prosperity. That's why they're always coming out with new cars. New subdivisions are always going to be built. They're always going to design new clothes. They're always going to create new experiences that you have to pay money to experience. Why? Because they want you to spend. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending money, but you have to be, and we'll get this discipline to spend money on what you value. Go with me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Watch this. Brings up another point. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. I hope you take this in. This is not going to be your goosebump messages. That this school is built on. This school is built on training you to become who God has called you to be. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Watch this. In the 21st verse, this is another key scripture that Jesus said that we miss. He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your soul be also." So Jesus is actually saying, let money reveal your thinking. Oh my goodness. Let your treasure reveal your thinking. The world system wants you to let your money reveal your ability, because they're not concerned about your thinking. They're concerned about the comparison, competing. I got this size house. I got this car. I got this clothes. I wear these clothes. I got this diamond size diamond ring. I got these many carats. I got this amount of gold. I got this type of watch. I wear these type of shoes. And so people are more, what happens in the world system, when they see you driving a certain type of car or living in a certain type of house, they equate to your intelligence or your ability. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, for wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So Jesus is saying, use your treasure to reveal your heart. What is in your soul? That's why he gets to the point of seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because when you seek God first, the number one priority in your life is the seed. Because if you believe in God and his system, then you realize that seed time and harvest is the system that God has set up. So therefore, my first priority is making sure I have seed before I have anything else. Because without seed, I can't operate in God's kingdom. Are you seeing this? So I let money reveal my heart. I let money reveal my love for God's kingdom, when I let my resources reveal my heart, reveal my love for God's kingdom, then, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Then watch this. Then 1 Timothy 6 and 10 no longer is applicable to me. Because I don't love money. Money loves me. I love God. I love seed. Seed is some seed. The word, the connotation of seed gives money a different connotation. When I begin to look at my money as seed, as a reveal of my heart, that means my money is aiming to do something. It has instructions. Every seed that is planted, apple seed, pecans, but sweet potatoes, you grow a garden. I mean, some of you may have a garden. Some of you may have a herb tree. You may be growing basil in your kitchen window. When you planted those seeds already had instructions on what to produce. So when you give your money a connotation of being a seed, then it always already has instructions on what it's supposed to produce, what it's supposed to do, and what it's supposed to produce. So therefore, 1 Timothy 6 and 10 is no longer applicable to your life because you're not going to err from the faith or err from the assignment. Why? Because the seed is doing what it's supposed to do. So by you not allowing the world system to define what wealth is for you, it frees you up to be you. It frees you up to value what you value. It frees you up. Who told you that that was an economy car? Who said that? Think about it. Who said that was an economy car? Who said that was a starter house? Who said that? Who said that? The world system. Why? Because they want to plant in your mind that this car is cheap or this car is less expensive. In order for me to feel good about myself, I need to get a more expensive car or I need to get a bigger house. Now, watch this. This is what I love about God. You were already in Matthew 6 chapter. Watch this. Go to the 32nd verse. We've seen this before, but now I'm repeating it so you can see this because I need this to register. I need you to see this so that you won't get tripped up by the world system, trying to keep up with the world system, trying to compete and trying to, yes, we like nice things. I like nice things. You like nice things. But there is a process by which God has ordained for us to receive those things. It's without a shadow of a doubt we're supposed to get them and supposed to receive them. Watch this. Watch the 32nd verse. It says, for after all these things, what things? Material things do the Gentiles seek? Look at this. Look at this B-Paul, what Jesus said. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But then they go to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So therefore, my goal in life is not to attain assets. My goal in life is to please God. And when I please God, assets are attracted to me. Grasp that. So when I seek first the kingdom of God, what I'm saying is, God, I'm allow you to bring the fruit to me. What it means for God to bring the fruit to you, that means that you will increase sweatless. Other words, you'll see opportunities. People will begin to want to do things for you. God will open doors that no man can open. Now, God is going to open doors. Watch this. Watch the beauty of this. God is going to open doors to where you're completely satisfied. He's not going to open doors for you to satisfy your neighbors. Hear that. God is not going to open doors for you to satisfy or impress your neighbors. God is going to open doors to where you are satisfied. This is why you can't forget what your neighbor has. Let's make it plain. Forget what your siblings may have. Forget what your best friend may have. That's between them and whatever else they're doing. All you should be concerned about is what I value, and I'm sowing seed, and I'm obeying God, and I'm going to let God bring it to me. This whole economy, this whole world system economy that Satan is running is built on you spending money and borrowing what you cannot spend, borrowing what you don't have to spend. Think about how, this, what they tell you. Get a good name, keep your credit good. Why? So they can approve you for what you want to buy. So they can approve you on debt, on credit. Watch this. This is the most amazing thing. I did not know this. I learned this recently because I just, I paid my house off, and I just learned this recently. I paid my house off, and on my credit report, I watched my credit report so that I won't have any fraud on my credit report. I don't want nobody to open no accounts in my, and it's good that you do that. See, that's one of the things. Check your credit report. Make sure that no, because in these days with the internet, people can access your social security number and get a hold of your credit report and open accounts in your name. So you need to have some type of way where you're keeping track of your credit report to make sure nobody is getting on to your credit report and make sure nobody's opened no accounts in your name. All right. That was free. That was free. I looked on my credit report and my mortgage account was closed. Do you realize that my credit score dropped? Now, I don't care because I'm not going to get no debt on it, but my credit score dropped. So I begin to think, I paid my house off. My credit score dropped. What message are they sending? What message is this system sending me? If you don't play by our rules, we're going to make it harder for you to get anything in the future. If you don't, we want to keep you in our system. We want to keep you in our economy. Without you in our economy goes under. We want you constantly borrowing and spending. So the quickest way to get out of the world system or this economy is to minimize your debt. This is why I talk about tracking. So you can see where your money is going, so that you can get to trimming and make decisions on what is valuable to you and what is not valuable to you, so that you can do two things when you trim. Number one, you find seed. And number two, you find money to begin to pay off the debts that you have. This economy do not want you to escape. They want to keep you trapped by borrowing all your life. So you have to minimize your debt. Now, I'm not talking negatively about debt, but you have to minimize it. Number one, watch this now. Remember, number one, you cannot let the world system define what wealth is for you. See, the reason why you can't let the world system define what wealth is for you is because God said something in Deuteronomy 8:18. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 8:18. Turn there. Now watch this. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. Watch what it says. Very familiar scripture. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to do what? To get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So here it is. It says, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So now what you have to do is let God define wealth. Because if you take this scripture and use the world system definition of wealth, you will wind up in 1 Timothy 6:10. That's powerful. That's powerful. If you take the world system definition of wealth and apply it in this particular scripture, you're going to wind up in 1 Timothy 6:10. Because if you let them define, the world system define what wealth is for you, then you're going to be using the power that God, or attempting to use the power that God gave you to get wealth, to attain those assets, to attain that type of lifestyle, even if you don't even enjoy that. You just to have ego and bragging rights, just to appear wealthy. You will find yourself in 1 Timothy 6:10, erring from the faith and piercing yourself through with many sorrows. So this is what you have to do. Let God define wealth for you. He did it. He said in Isaiah 53 and 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. One verse talks about, one version says, give you, I think it's the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible. Let me look it up real quick because I want to make sure I see it. The Amplified Bible. Because I want you to see this. It's 55 and 11, I think. Isaiah 55, 11. Let me get to it. Isaiah 55. I still may be wrong. Nope, that's what was it. 53 and 9, is it? I know it's somewhere in Isaiah. Let me find it. Let me look for it. Jeremiah 29 and 11. That's it. Not Isaiah. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let me look up in the Amplified. Let's see. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not of evil. It's another one that I'm looking for. Let me find it. Let me take my time and find it. We're in class anyway. Let's see. The Message Bible says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hoped for. Wow. Let's see. I think I know which one it is, I think. It says plans to prosper you. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. It's the NIV. Jeremiah 29 and 11. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So God has already planned to prosper you. So if God has already in the past tense planned to prosper you, then it's almost a dishonor to God for me to apply a subpar definition of wealth to his superior word or his superior thought process for us. So what I mean by that, I cannot take the world system definition of wealth and apply it in Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm bringing that scripture down. Let that scripture stay elevated in the supernatural like it's supposed to be, and let God and you define prosperity for yourself. I hope you're grabbing this. God has already made plans for you to prosper. He has a process. Go with me to Psalms 37. Watch this. This is when I saw this earlier. Here's another key. When you read a scripture, always go a little bit above the scripture and a little bit after the scripture, so you can get context. When you get context, sometimes the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and give you clarity. So Psalm, watch this, what God says in Psalm 30, what David says in, about God in Psalms 37. 37. And 4. Look at verse 3. Well, let's start at verse 1. Why? Because now it's going to make content. It's going to put it in context. Let's start at verse 1. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's the provision. Talking about provisions. Verse 4, watch this, very familiar scripture. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That scripture and Matthew 6:33 are saying the same thing. Delight thyself in the Lord, also in the Lord, and what? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, or your soul, your mind, what you want. 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7 is important. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way or his own way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Do you see verse 7? It says, rest in the Lord. This is very close. This scripture, wow, Holy Spirit give me all kinds of scriptures. In Mark, the 4th chapter, when the sower sowed the word, he went to sleep. And the seed groweth, and he knoweth not how. Other words, it's not saying that you won't be aware of what God is doing. It's that you're not trying to figure it out. You're not erring from the faith, piercing yourself through many sorrows. You're not putting yourself in peculiar positions because you're overborrowing, and now you're in debt, and now you're under pressure to pay this off. Wow, this is good. Watch what he said, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, you can't wait patiently for the Lord if you have the world system definition of wealth defined for you. If you're letting the world system define wealth for you, there is no patience in that, because this world system is all about instant, now, get it right now, do it right now, go borrow, get it right now. You can get it today, 90 days, no interest. You can get it right now. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Other words, stop worrying about how everybody get what they got. That's on them. But you want to go God's way, so that when you do, as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things are being added to you, you're not under pressure, you're not sweating about it, you're not uncomfortable having it, and you are enjoying it, because God is giving you the desires of your heart. Think about it. How many times have you bought something? Watch this. You bought something, and it turns out it wasn't your desire, but it was somebody else's desire that you bought. Come on now, grab that. The world system economy is built on debt and spending. God's economy is built on seed time, harvest, and spending. The world system economy is built on debt and spending. Debt and spending. God's economy is built on seed time and harvest and spending. Catch that now. Catch that. The difference is, you see the difference. The difference is, that's why verse 7 is important. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, meaning for God. Fret not thyself because of anybody who prospers in their own way. You know, they got people prospering all over. They got people, you know, working deals and people doing this, manipulating the system, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it looked like they're prospering. But yet they have no peace. They don't have good success. They're not making their way prosper. They're trying. They're going after wealth, which means they're erring from what they were called to do. They'll do whatever it takes. But we as the children of God, we have a right to prosper. Why? Because God gave us the power to get wealth. He gave us the power to get wealth. It's just we're going to have to let God define wealth for us and minimize our debt. It's going to take discipline. I talked about last week having temperance, self-control, discipline, being able to see my neighbors, my friends, get nice things and celebrate with them, knowing that I don't have to get those things or buy those things to know who I am, to have confidence. My confidence don't come from outside. My confidence comes from inside. Greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. Are you getting this? This is why I talked about, I keep reading it, the tracking and the trimming. As ministers of the gospel, we have to be accountable to God with what he's given us. Talked about it last week. Jesus said, if I can't trust you with what you have now, then I know I can't trust you with more. I close with this. Don't let the world system, and we'll be back next week, we got two more classes. Don't let the world system define wealth for you. Matter of fact, This law of seed time and harvest works not only for wealth, but it works for health. What you put in your body is what you're going to get out. What you put in is what you're going to get out. If you're putting junk in, your body going to act junky. Your organs are going to malfunction. But when you put the right stuff in, your organs will begin to operate properly. So this system of seed time and harvest works all around us. Stop letting the world system, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Stop letting the world system define what wealth is for you, and stop letting the world system define what is healthy eating. Read for yourself. Find out some of y'all about our food, about the eating three times a day. You don't have to eat no three times a day. That's what you've been trained to do so you can go to the grocery store more often. So you get in a habit. Sometimes you eat when you're not even hungry. So now your body got to process food that they're not prepared to process. Taxing on your body makes your body work harder. Get a hold of these health videos by Apostle. Look at these wealth videos, begin study money coming like you never, like a madman. Get this book, The Four Laws of Financial Prosperity. Devour it, begin to apply it so that over a period of time, you can begin to see results. You can become the, get off this system. Get off this system of this debt-ridden system. Your life don't have to be governed about what you can qualify for with your credit. God's financial plan is much better than the world system plan of credit. God's financial plan is much better than the world system plan, financial plan of credit. Have a good night.